Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I have a special guest today, Mike Sparks, who's quite an expert in military affairs, and where I'm very eager to get Mike to assess the prospect of how a war would play out between Israel and the Arab states. I want to begin, however, with an interview between Colonel McGregor and Judge Napolitano, where he's observing that Biden acts as though the United States had unlimited resources, and what a colossal mistake that is. Check this out.
Can't be more wrong. And again, this is the sort of dangerous fantasy, this sense of limitless resources and capabilities, when the opposite is the case. Our resources and our capabilities are not limitless. And we don't want to squander them unnecessarily. And by the way, the same thing is true for Israel. Both Israel and the United States need to think first and foremost about, number one, their survival and their national power. You don't do anything that puts that at risk. And that's what we're doing. And Mr. Netanyahu is doing that. It's sort of Hitler saying, I'm going to invade the Soviet Union. I'm going to risk everything on one throw of the dice. That's insane. You don't throw dice in strategy.
How dangerous would it be for peace in the region if American troops, Marines or Special Forces, were to be on the ground in Gaza?
Well, the danger is that if they go in any numbers to Israel and they meet the enemy, that obviously they'll take losses. If there are severe losses, if there's more than a few at a time, not only will that awaken the American public from its normal slumber at home, but more important, it would reveal that we are once again not invincible, not invulnerable. And one of the things that
Okay, you guys, this is the easy ritual that's already helped my grandma drop close to 74 pounds.
Apologies.
Despite all of the stupidity in Ukraine that still exists, is our brand. We still have a pretty good brand, despite all the problems. That brand will be destroyed if people think, look, the Americans have come into this and they've lost aircraft. They've lost troops. Gee, they're not that good. They're not that strong. that encourages more enemies to pile on. Again, that's why, unless, you know, there's a vital strategic interest at stake, you don't commit forces that could be defeated.
Do your sources inform you about whether there have been military casualties in Gaza?
Yes, I was told that by a couple of very reliable sources who have to remain anonymous. And they insisted some time ago that we had put people on the ground in Israel. They described them as special ops forces. They could be Army or Marine, obviously. And that they were working with or cooperating closely, and in some cases were there to also observe and learn lessons. Some of them have been involved in the fighting, and I'm told that we've taken casualties. But, you know, we took casualties in Ukraine as well, Judge. We've lost people over there, and we have not been told about it. It has been suppressed and kept secret, and the media has been very helpful to the government in doing this. So I surmise that they're probably right. We've probably taken some losses, but no one is going to advertise it for fear that it would awaken people. Remember, Americans are not really paying that much attention to what happens overseas. I wish they were, but they're not.
Respect.
Yeah, again, this is not December 1944 or January 45. We took tremendous losses in the Battle of the Bulge. It was somewhere in the neighborhood of 140,000 casualties fighting the Germans. The Germans only sustained 68,000, of which only 11,000 were killed. We solved the problem during war by lying. We said the Germans had lost 200,000 and that we had only suffered 70,000. In other words, we reversed the numbers. We didn't tell the truth. Well, we were in the middle of a war, and Americans were very unhappy with how lengthy the war was turning out to be, and a lot of Americans wanted us to bring our forces home. We're not in that situation. We're not in a world war. We don't want to be in a world war. So if we're taking losses and our forces are on the ground, yes, you're right. We need to know so that people can make their voices heard. They can call and say, we don't approve. We don't like it. We don't want it. Well, you know, Judge, there's one other thing here to consider.
Let me just add that not only is, I think, Colonel McGregor absolutely right that the more the American people learn about what's going on here, the more opposed they're going to be. But as I explained yesterday, they're planning to do a conscription. They want to bring back the draft. I don't think the American people are going to be happy about signing up to help Israel commit genocide against the Palestinians. Now, Iran is also revealed it has a new class of missiles. There's a lot of criticism against Biden for having lifted sanctions. Here's what we've got. Recent reports indicate the Islamic Resistance in Iraq, an organization sanctioned by Iran to aid terrorism, has acquired a medium-range missile with the intention of striking American forces stationed in Iraq and Syria. This declaration is made mere weeks after the Biden admin waived sanctions against Iran's missile program, thereby demonstrating a perilous disregard for safeguarding American interests. What's absurd about that complaint is it takes years to develop missiles, not months. So, you know, relieving sanctions, which in my judgment were inappropriate to begin with, was not the wrong thing to do. Meanwhile, Kevin Barrett has published that Israel will lose and offered his reasons why the Western media are getting it wrong, just like in Ukraine. Here's what Kevin writes in part. Ever since February 2022, Western mainstream media have been telling us that Russia cannot possibly win the war in Ukraine. Zelensky, with his hundreds of billions backing from the West, would surely prevail. Russia has always been taking unbearably heavy losses. Putin is always about to keel over dead. A fresh shipment of U.S. wonder weapons will turn the tide. A crushing Ukrainian defeat is always at hand. Because they could not imagine Ukraine losing, Western pundits could not see that it was losing. They miss the fact that from the moment the non-Western world majority refused to accept U.S. sanctions on Russia, it was effectively over. virtually the entire war has been fought under the shadow of an inevitable Russian victory. It has always been just a matter of time. Might a similar situation prevail in the war for Palestine? The non-Western world majority has turned sharply against Israel, even more sharply than it turned against the U.S. in its war on Russia through Ukraine. Yet, Western media continue to manufacture and inhabit a bubble completely divorced from moral and strategic reality. They can't even imagine Israel being in the wrong, even though it obviously is. They can't imagine a boss being noble and chivalrous fighters and Israel being cowardly child-killing terrorists, though such is obviously the case. They can't acknowledge that the vast majority of the world disagrees with them for very good reasons, not because of anti-Semitism, and above all, they can imagine that Israel, despite or because of its genocidal assault on civilians, is losing the war. I agree with those sentiments. We've heard from Colonel McGregor. Now the question becomes, what are the weapons available to Israel? Micah Adams has a tweet showing a very large number of cars that look just like the cars we saw in Lahaina, just like cars we saw after 9/11, actually, in New York City, lending further support to the hypothesis that directed energy weapons were being tested there, even though the primary mechanism for destroying the Twin Towers appears to have been mini nukes. But I'm most certainly open to the prospect that, in fact, directed energy weapons were being used, tested out to see what they could do. Meanwhile, there's an account here claiming that Israel has a very sophisticated directed energy weapon. This is largely an animation. But it's firing, it's showing it zipping around. It's like a Star Wars weapon. Very, very similar. Completely automated, taking out one missile after another, after another, after another. If Israel did have such a weapon, that would be very, very disturbing. Meanwhile, we know that Apache helicopters killed Zionist squatter, drug Jewish partiers, fellow IDF gunmen, even with depleted uranium weapons, it appears. There's video from it. There are lots of reports. This is coming from the intel drop. We see first images of the toasted cars. Zionist pilot laughed with glee, thinking the near-naked drug teenagers they were killing were Muslims and not American and British tourists just trying to get high and have a good time while enjoying apartheid hospitality. Pilots cheered while strafing their own using depleted uranium ammunition. We have a video of the Apache helicopters, of course, provided by the United States, being used to kill those at the concert and so forth. Thus, we have new footage corroborating previous reports claiming the Israeli military is responsible for many of the Israeli casualties during the first day, that October 7th invasion, which I believe was exactly the case, in order to accent, you know, the number, the justification, playing the Israeli victimhood card again, to go into Gaza and slaughter the Palestinians. And meanwhile, of course, that Maui was a matter of dues is confirmed. Here we have another Twitter report. Just me, or does the precision of all this seem out of place? I mean, it's really fantastic what was going on.
Oprah, Bill Gates, Lady Gaga, Jeff Bezos, Will Smith, Julia Roberts, still standing in imperfect condition. Just a little too precise for me, and I'm still gonna say that this all seems a little bit too fishy. Oh, and did you also know that John Pelliotter, I don't know if I'm saying that right, who is Maui's chief police officer, was also the commander of the Las Vegas shooting?
Yeah, and of course, we know Las Vegas was a scam. They used a pre-recorded soundtrack played over the PA system, supplemented with special visual effects, in order to create the image that people were being shot down when no one was actually being shot. Mona Alexis Presley did a brilliant job with the obituaries, tracking down when they weren't merely Photoshop variations of one another. They were based on persons who died in different states or on different dates from different causes of death. A Facebook friend contacted the three closest hospitals at the concert there and asked if they'd had any admissions of gunshot victims that night, and all three reported no. The third, thoughtfully adding, if you're calling about that drill the other day, no one was shot. Please contact the local police. Mona also tracked down the crime map that showed 24 hours, 8 hours before the shooting and 8 hours the following day, that reports all the crimes that took place in that vicinity, the square miles surrounding the concert area. None of them involve gunshots, not a single one. Disorderly conduct, recovery of stored vehicle, assault and battery, all kind of routine stuff. I've got a lot about it. You can find it if you go to my jameshfetzer.org blog and look for JimTheConspiracyGuy.com, the 65 shows, and just scroll down and you'll find Las Vegas, a report about it. Scott Bennett was very astute, observing the one body, the only body we have, allegedly of Stephen Paddock, lying in his suite, where there's blood beneath his head, but there are shell casings on top of the blood. Now, the problem there, as Scott astutely observed, is once you're dead, you stop shooting. Thus, the shell casings ought to have been under the blood. Not only that, but among the shell casings were those for CO2 gas-propelled pellet guns and for blanks. In other words, the prop master didn't really know what she was doing and just threw down a handful of shell casings. I mean, after all, who was going to take a closer look? Meanwhile, Biden declares no possibility for a ceasefire. This is from Russia Today. Very troubling, but confirmation that the U.S. has been in on this from the beginning. Turns out we even have a secret base just 20 miles from Gaza that have been under construction for some time. The whole business has been coordinated. We have earlier reports I've shared with you of 5,000 U.S. troops. This appeared to be Delta Force involved in coming into Gaza where they got their ass shot off. That they got the Gazans, the Hamas, are acting very courageously as freedom fighters. Remember that saying, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. And they appear to be doing a hell of a job. Not only that, but we have a new report of 40 Israeli tanks and armored vehicles having been taken out by rocket-propelled grenades. I myself personally admire what they're doing here. But get this from RT. No possibility of Gaza ceasefire, Biden. Israel has agreed to daily four-hour pauses in fighting. However, U.S. President Joe Biden has ruled out any hope of achieving a lasting crossfire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. None. No possibility. Biden told reporters outside the White House on Thursday when asked about the chances of a firm cessation in hostilities. Speaking to reporters separately later in the day as he was boarding Air Force One, the president revealed he had been pushing for a pause in the fighting for a lot more than 3 days. The U.S., however, has not managed to secure any significant pause from Israel, which had reportedly determined to continue its war on Hamas until the militant group is completely destroyed, really, until the entire Gaza population is eliminated and they don't care how it happens. If they're not all dead, that's okay as long as they're no longer in Palestine, the land Israel wants for itself. If they're out in the desert, in the Sinai, that's fine with them. If they were in Jordan, that's okay, that's fine with them. Or as I've suggested on more than one occasion, they're all loaded aboard a ship, floated out to sea, and sunk. That would be especially fine with them. Thus far, Israel has only agreed to implement daily humanitarian breaks. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby revealed during a press conference, hailing it as a significant step forward. Israel will begin to implement four-hour pauses in areas of northern Gaza each day, with announcement to be made 3 hours beforehand, Kirby said. We've been told by the Israelis there will be no military operations in these areas over the duration of the pause and that a process is starting today. Probably just to resupply their ammo. There's nothing humanitarian about this as far as I see. Meanwhile, and this is very, very disturbing and reinforces a point I've been making, State Department may well be trying to abrogate a Fourth Geneva Convention, turning Gaza and the West Bank into free fire zones. Listen to this. Today, I follow up on my questioning from Wednesday. This is in decensored news. Again, the State Department would not say directly if they recognize the Fourth Geneva Convention is applying to the West Bank and Gaza. The Fourth Geneva Convention is the bedrock of rights for people living under occupation. The remarks from the State Department today by Principal Deputy Spokesperson Vidit Patel led law professor Francis Boyle to comment. This sounds pretty ominous to me, in that it seems the Bidenistas are going along with Israel, turning Gaza into a free fire zone. If the administration is tacitly claiming that the Fourth Geneva Convention does not apply to the West Bank and Gaza, then any calls by the administration to abide by international law may be no more than a cruel joke. I repeatedly asked at the end of my questioning which law the administration means when they talk about international law, and never received a response. Instead, Patel threatened to ask me to leave for attempting to insist on a response. The lack of a clear yes or no led to some confusion. It's been longstanding U.S. policy, most notably articulated in the Hansel Memorandum from 1978, to apply the Fourth Geneva Convention to the West Bank. In Gaza law professor John Quigley notes that, in paragraph 4, Hansel refutes Israel's argument that the convention does not apply, and he says it does apply. In paragraph 2, Hansel refutes Israel's arguments on the legality of settlements. However, Mike Pompeo, while he was Secretary of State in the Trump admin, a terrible, terrible appointment, may I add, said, we're recognizing that these settlements don't inherently violate international law. That is important. We're disavowing the deeply flawed 1978 Hansel memo, and we're returning to a balanced and sober Reagan-era approach. Quigley said Pompeo's statement relates only to the legality of settlements. Pompeo reversed of Reagan on that issue, as far as I can tell. Pompeo did not disavow what the Hansel memo says about the Fourth Geneva Convention. Patel noted, we have had no change in policy as it relates to the Hansel memo. But I believe it's right. I believe they want to change it. They want to make it the case that they can kill everyone in Gaza and the West Bank, turn it into a free fire zone nonstop to achieve their goals. Meanwhile, here's a nice piece. Biden and Netanyahu worked together to secure aid and hostages. On Sunday, President Biden held a discussion with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu regarding search and rescue efforts for over 220 Israeli hostages, including missing American citizens believed to be in the custody of Hamas. The White House conversation summary highlighted the urgent need to boost humanitarian aid to Gaza's civilian population. Israel is currently launching a ground offensive into Gaza, aiming to oust Hamas from the region and recover the hostage it abducted on October 7th. Amidst the escalating conflict and continued strikes on Gaza by Israel, there's a growing global demand to ensure the timely delivery of humanitarian aid to the affected. Meanwhile, let me return to a report I need to emphasize. The Turkish parliament has declared a state of Palestine. Israel loses Erdogan. Let's see if we can pick up some report about this. Of course, commercials interfere.
Türkiye Respublikası Prezidenti Hürmetli Recep Tayyip Erdoğan Cenab-ı Ali'lerine verilendi. Merhamet.
In today's news, the Palestinian conflict has taken a new turn with Turkey, formerly the Ottoman Empire, submitting a resolution to Parliament for the de facto recognition of a Palestinian state. Reports suggest that the upcoming bill will call for the end of the Gaza War, the unification of the Palestinian Authority across the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and Gaza, and the eventual deployment of Turkish troops to secure the new territory against aggression. If this resolution passes, it could signal a new era of unification in Palestine, potentially ending Israel's military occupation and oppression. However, there's a paradox in the robust economic relations between Turkey and Israel. The Sea Violet, an oil tanker registered in Malta, continues to transit about 40% of Israel's oil needs from Azerbaijan through Turkey without hindrance. Will this new resolution affect this trade? We'll delve into that later in the video. Help others stay informed by liking and sharing this video. And hit the
Let me just say, I'm very keen to get Mike Sparks' take here on what happens if Turkey comes in. It has a, after Ukraine, the second largest army military resource in NATO. It has, can mobilize up to 2 million troops. It has all kinds of weapons at disposal, and it's not very happy with Israel. Remember, as Erdogan has observed in the past, all this used to be a part of the Ottoman territory, the Ottoman Empire. He is not hesitant to assert his leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood worldwide. I believe Turkey is going to take a stand. And in a sentence that hasn't been emphasized, he's observed Turkey soldiers will fight in Gaza. Right back with Mike Sparks after this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my guest today, not for the first time, Mike Sparks has an extensive background in both the U.S. Army and the Marine Corps. He's an expert on military equipment. He served as an advisor to the Department of Defense in relation to these events in Iraq in particular. He advised the necessity to use tracked vehicles because otherwise improvised explosive devices would lead to the maiming of lots of American soldiers. A high-ranking general, however, wanted that to happen so he could do work on prosthetics. In other words, he deliberately exposed American troops to harm's way to have them maimed to lose limbs so there could be more support for research on robotics, on artificial limbs and the like. Mike was clearly on the right side in that place, and because of my respect for his military expertise, I'm very keen to have him offer his assessment. Now, I believe he and I are on different sides politically in our assessment of the situation, and I want to have him to have the opportunity to articulate his views on all of the above, but I'm especially interested in whether he believes in a military conflict Israel could prevail with the United States support, or given the array of forces against it, including Hezbollah, Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, potentially Russia, probably Algeria. We got Egypt with 500, 600 tanks. I want his assessment on all of the above. Mike, welcome back to the Raw Deal.
Okay. Since AD 33, we've been in the times of the Gentiles. God has blessed everybody who is non-Jewish a lot, almost 2,000 years. You have Jeff Bezos. His mom took three kids to Houston and worked and saved $245,000 for him to start Amazon. Both of them have become billionaires. And God warns us that this is going to happen, that we're going to be led away captive in all nations, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So we're in the time of the Gentiles. So all this Jew envy hate that's going around is unjustified. The people of Gaza have had 18 years and billions of dollars given them to make a civilian life. Instead, they dug up the pipes that were going to irrigate the place and turn them into rockets. They've dug tunnels and poured concrete to reinforce them. They run around playing AK-47 gun thug instead of making a civilian life. When you look all around them at Jordan and Lebanon, and if you go to the travel channels, you can see people traveling all over the world having a nice life. God's blessed people, but they don't want to do that. They want to hate Jews. And so they are collectively responsible for putting Hamas into power in 2007 and causing this crisis. And letting themselves get used as human shields. Now, in a military perspective, the clever IDF is going to eradicate Hamas probably by the end of next month. And all these naysayers are going to have to be eating crow because they'll have egg on their face because Israel's winning right now and is going to win by the end of next month. Is that the rate things are going?
Let me intervene. I take a lot of this is rooted in your belief in Christianity and the Bible. And
no, it's rooted in objective reality. Those countries, Jordan and Lebanon, don't want Palestinians in their country or Egypt. because they're malcontents and they're not willing to work for a civilian life. They want Jews. That's Jew envy hate. They don't want to live a peaceful life, Jim. They are morally responsible for the mess that they are in. And Israel's going to put an end to it.
Mike, I'm going to give you a...
That has nothing to do with my Christian belief. It is exactly what's happening in objective reality. That's what's going to happen. And all these people that are anti-government are going to have egg on their face by the end of next month. Because it ain't happening the way they think it is. And I'll tell you about Turkey in a minute.
Stop
criticizing my Christian belief. I won't criticize your nihilist hedonistic belief. Stick to the facts.
What the hell?
Stick to the facts. Stick to the objective reality. Israel is taking northern Gaza without mass murdering the Gazan citizens. That same formula will be applied next month, turning towards the south. That's what's happening. When bad guys are at your door, it's too late to complain about the pedophile Illuminati instigating everything. You can't be just sitting there having a little conniption fit and pout because the Bidenistas are involved. When bad guys are at your door, you've got to kill them or nothing else follows. That's what Israel is doing. After this is all over with, we can talk about the Illuminati setting this up.
I'm not talking about the Illuminati. I'm talking about whether you endorse...
Because you don't know what's happening. The Illuminati has set this up. They have been feeding hate Jew lies in the textbooks of the Hamas run Gazan government for years. And then they wonder why the kids throw rocks and then grow up to become AK-47 gunmen. The European Union has been funding this. That's the Illuminati. They want World War III. We got to be smart enough to not fall into their trap. And that's what's going to happen. Israel's going to eradicate Hamas without killing all these Gazan civilians. And if Turkey wants to try to push through the bottleneck of Lebanon, they're going to get killed in their crappy vehicles that are vanilla. I got to tell you, the Turkish army didn't do very well against the Syrians. So there's my military prediction. Israel doesn't have to worry about Turkey because they're not very good. And they're also going through a terrain bottleneck. That's not what you want to hear, but that's what's happening.
Well, Mike, I would like to have a little more details about how all this could play out. I mean, I'm a bit overwhelmed by your onslaught against me when I'm merely asking questions of clarification about your views.
And My views are based on objective reality, not because of Christian faith.
I brought you on here, and then you give me a tidal wave of your opinion. Now, that's okay, but I want to back up and get some clarity here. The Palestinians have occupied these lands for 2,000-3,000 years. The Israelis, 75.
Wrong. The Israelis have been there longer than them. They do not have any ownership of that land. They need to shut the fuck up and live a civilian life, show they can do it in Gaza, and then everything will be fine. Now, there's two ways that could happen. We could have the Swiss come in, who aren't going to tolerate any of their little Jew envy hate, and show them how to live a neutral life. That's what I prefer. And or plan B, send them to the empty Egyptian cities. You know, Egypt has been trying to conquer the desert, but they can't fill these cities up with people. The Palestinians could be there and make it happen. But the Egyptians have to accept them. So where's all that Arab Islamic brotherhood? Egyptians don't want the Palestinians there because they're malcontents. They're welfare recipients. They got the same welfare recipient mentality as a lot of the malcontents here in the United States. But that's another plan. You know, plan B would be to send them to the empty Egyptian cities.
So you believe Israel has the right to turn Gaza into a free fire zone and slaughter every man, woman, and child there. Is that right, Mike? That's my understanding.
Yes, I do, because they're collectively responsible like the Japanese and Germans were in World War II. But they're not going to do that, Jim. They don't need to do it, and they're not doing it. They don't need to do it because they have precision, tank infantry, combined arms action at play. So you're putting words in their mouth. They don't need to. They don't need to do that. But in World War II, we would have done it, and no hesitation. We would have firebombed Gaza. If the Gazans had attacked us, we would have firebombed them instantly if it was World War II. But we don't need to now.
You know that
it hasn't happened to us. But I'll tell you, Jim, if your daughter and your wife had been killed by Hamas on 10/7, you'd be saying, let's stomp the place. So, you know, there's the Jew envy hate, and then you've got the, it hasn't happened here. It's not my goat that's been, you know, gored. You know, you've got that. And that's American, you know, insulation from the world.
So does the Fourth Geneva Convention apply to Gaza and the West Bank or not? Are they protected under international law by the occupying force or not?
Not, because the UN is bullshit. It's pedophile Illuminati bullshit. We should have not tolerated. This is what I mean, Jim. When we don't complain about the Illuminati stuff, when the thugs are at the door, which is what 10/7 represents, you got to take care of the thugs. We take care of the thugs, then we'll go after the UN. UN is bullshit. Yep. The UN has been created by Satanists. They're theosophists who believe man will become God, and they want to mass murder 8 billion of us. And this is part of their plan. Well, the Israeli Defense Force is too smart to let that happen. But I got to tell you, a lot of people are being wakened up, about the need to be self-defensive and not be a putz. Just dance around at rave parties, unarmed. The world is a dangerous place, and the world has people that will kill you. They want to kill you, and you can't negotiate with them. So you got to kill them first or keep them out. Well, the idea of keeping them out is absurd. Let's say if your neighbor was throwing you rocks at you, are you going to create an anti-rock missile system? Is the enemy, you know, your next-door neighbor going to respect you? He's going to say, you're a putz. You don't want to fucking come over here and stop me throwing rocks at you. That's what Israel did for the last 10 years when they should have just went to Gaza and evicted Hamas from the government there and put the Palestinian Authority in or someone who wants to live in peace. But because Israel is selfish and they're naive liberals, they've become very woke, not running around anymore with guns like they used to when I was there. This is why this has happened. A chain link fence isn't going to keep anybody out. They should have walled off Gaza and made Gazans live in peace. Well, they didn't do that, and it blew up in their face. Well, now they're going to have to do that, make Gaza a peaceful place or evict the Gazans and make them live with some people who live in peace and let a generation go by and cool off. Because, you know, sad to say, some people, it's too late. They've already been inculcated into their Jew envy hate. There's no reason for it. Everybody's God blessed people right now in the times of the Gentiles. So everybody's getting blessed except the Gazans because they want to go around Jew envy hating. Stop it. Okay? We can't stop it. Then we need to get rid of them from being so close to Israel, make them live a civilian life, and a new generation will come up and say, hey, we can live in peace.
Have you seen
all driven by this.
Have you seen any of the interviews by former IDF who say that something's wrong about October 7th, that there's no possible way there could have been a violation offense without IDF knowing that it had to be a setup?
Yes.
Are you
that's
unaware
what I say
of that?
When you can't, yes, and that's why I made the statement. It's too late now to talk about the pedophile Illuminati instigating the thugs at your door. When the thugs are at your door, it's too late to say, FDR shouldn't have put the fleet in Hawaii, or Stalin should have abateed. That means you cut down the trees, the million trees between Moscow and Germany. He should have abateed the trees and not let Hitler invade. All of this talk is too late once the thugs are at your door. After we take care of them, then we can talk about the instigation. But the answer to your question is what I already told you, chain link fence will not keep anyone out. You can get a bolt cutters at Walmart. So, yeah, only 10% of Gaza was walled off with 20 feet high concrete walls. The rest was chain link fence. Chain link fence won't keep anybody out. So let it happen on purpose. LIHOP here, yes. But now is not the time to talk about LIHOP. Right now, Hamas needs to be exterminated. That's what they did. Morality dictates it. Do that, and then we go and say, look, we got to stop the Illuminati. There's 11 million of them worldwide, and they're instigating this. through subtle measures like not walling areas and putting chain link fence. We don't need to be armed anymore, Israelis. Go to the raid party. Show your tits. Have fun. You don't have to be armed. That's absurd. That's woketardism, nihilist woketardism, you know, anti-gun. You know, we're all going to live in peace, but 25% of all human beings are psych sociopaths. That means they're born without a conscience or very little conscience. All of our governmental systems on planet Earth are weak in regards to that. The U.S. Constitution, I would say 10% estimation of psych sociopaths. And that's too low. That's too low of a number. 1/4 of every human being in any human being group, group of human beings, is a psych sociopath. We got to get that through our head. The world is not neutral. There is no natural world. You can't go with a 100-pound hot backpacking girl into the woods and think nothing's going to happen without a gun, without ELT, without another partner. One is none and two is one. So this whole nonsense that the world we live in can be understood as naturalistic processes that can be reduced by figuring out through scientific experimentation and repeatable experiments that this is the world. No, there's the supernatural. You may not want to believe it, but there is a supernatural, and the supernatural evil is out to get it. Anytime we have supernatural symbology in our consumer products, in our homes, or like in Nashville, you've got a horrible Parthenon full size with a statue of Athena, you're cursing that city and town. You're allowing evil. Anytime you have the Freemasons dedicate a building, they put a damn stone there. That's like a Kilroy was here for Satan. Now, this is something people don't want to face, that we are not living in a natural world. So, yeah, you've got the laws of cause and effect causing, you know, Palestinians to hate, you know, Israelis, Jews. There's also supernatural magnification of it for the Jew envy hate. And there's no reason for it. And it's another problem is Christians have not said what I said at the beginning here, that we're in the times of the Gentiles and God's been blessing everybody. Just go look on any of those travel channels and travel to other countries and you'll see Dubai, Oman, Saudi Arabia. They're all being blessed because God wants people to be fed, clothed. Okay, maybe they'll read the Bible, do the John 3:16 pardon. That's what God wants, because life is an audition by God to see who he keeps to fill the stars. And the Gazans are failing their audition, no doubt about it. Same with Hamas. They're failing their audition. God's not going to keep them around, you know, in the next life. So there you have it, the meaning of life, why God tolerates all this crap. And he blesses people, but then they bite the hand that feeds them. You know, they hate him. And I don't know why. Just being moral and stoical, is that really that bad? You still go party, for crying out loud. You know, most people that reject God, I see for two reasons. One, I won't be able to party anymore. And two, I'll have to, you know, live a moral life. You know, accept that. No, don't give up your moral compass just because, you know, you have to. You admit that the world is a created world and it's fallen and we have to do things or else we won't survive. You know, food will not just grow on its own. You've got to work to make food grow. So, you know, the world is not working at 100%. So you can't use nature as God. Nature is not God. We can't use it as the guide for our lives. So there, I gave you the whole mess. In a complete picture.
Well, I'm glad to have your view out there. I mean, for me, it's rather different. I mean, belief in God is an article of faith. It's not amenable to observation, experiment, measurement.
Wrong. I disagree with you that. It's proven fact. I could take you to a demon-possessed person. Maybe I'll be able to protect you enough so you survive. But if you did survive, you wouldn't be having this cavalier attitude about God not existing. I'm giving it straight to you. I've dealt with demon-possessed people, and it's a one-sided event. If you're a Bible-believing John 3:16 Christian, we win. None of this Linda Blair head-spinning crap by Roman Catholics who don't have any godly power. You go in there, you say, come out, demon, and he goes, yes, I'm out. And then you go, where are you going? And they have a name, an address, In my case, the last time I did it, they had a name in Minnesota of where they're going, the name and the address. That's the spiritual battle that we're in. You wouldn't have this attitude, Jim, if you witnessed this. It's provable that we live in a world where God and Satan are fighting each other, and we're in between. And I'm on your side. I'm on every human being's side, including Hamas and the Gaza. Let's not fall into this trap. Let's stay out of the trap. Let's say God is blessing everybody if we work together peaceably. Drop this Jew hate, because all the Jew hate is based on is this idea that God's chosen people. That means they used him in the Old Testament for an experiment. He said, Jews, can you follow all 623 laws? And the Jews said, yes, we can. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Bob. They failed. So the point is God used them to show that man can't, you know, save himself by being good. That's the whole point. That's what being God's chosen people is. Now, after that, we have the New Testament, and everybody's God's blessed people. He's given us knowledge through the printed word with the Gutenberg Press, the King James Bible. All of this has created a world revolution in learning and wonder for the creation. It's blessed everybody. So I'd rather be God's blessed people than God's chosen people. But this devil has very clever created this wedge between the two when it's apples and oranges. But they're butthurt, you know, the Gazans and, you know, Arabists are butthurt because they're not God's chosen people. Well, go try being God's chosen people for a while. It's no fun. 623 laws? No way. Be God's blessed person, people. Don't be God's chosen people. You experiment on you? That's something to be, you know, glorious about?
There's a lot of horrific stuff in the Bible, Mike, including, you know, lots of genocides that seem to be...
I can answer every single case that you bring up.
Well, let me put it this way, Mike. Okay. Is an action right because God approves it, or does God approve it because it's right?
Actions are only approved if it's moral, if it's morally sound by God.
And what makes an action morally sound?
Right. In this case, we're going to take war in this case. God said to the Israelites to take this land, because the people living there are living paganistically in sin, and the best thing for them to do is to stop that empire from growing and spreading like a cancer to the rest of humanity. But at any time, if those pagans saw what was happening, which actually happened, the Gibeonites dressed up like they were from far away, and they came to Joshua and Caleb, and they said, Joshua and Caleb, we're from far away. That's a lie. Guess what? Well, hold that thought. We came from a long distance, and we know what you're going to do. We don't want to be part of it. We believe in your God. Please make a treaty with us that you won't kill us. And Joshua and Caleb went ahead and made a treaty with them. Did God say, Joshua, Caleb, they're lying to you? No. God let it happen. And then when the Joshua and Caleb came upon the Gibeonites, they said, you can't kill us. You made a treaty with us, and they had to abide by it. God has ways for people that have good faith to avoid judgment, and that is a proof right there with the Gibeonites. Same thing applies to any Arab country today. Just reject this Jew envy hate BS. Realize that you're blessed by God, and go on with your civilian life. The Jordanians are doing it. The Lebanese are doing it. Come on. Omar, Qatar, all these countries are not doing the Jew envy hate nonsense, and they're having a wonderful life as best as they think. And that's hope. There's hope in that they'll read the Bible and, you know, turn to God and all that good stuff. That's why God allows it to happen. But so,
now, Mike,
yeah,
there's
ways out.
You assert your position with great authority and conviction, but others have very different views. They assert with equal authority and conviction. How do we know which of you is right?
Right. Well, the bottom line there is going to be at the end, who wins at the end, and we don't want to wait for that. But you've got their positions are being repudiated constantly. For instance, their idea of it just turn the other cheek, which is for personal affairs, not for your nation state. When you try to do that like Israel did, it blew up in their face. So what you have happening there is little bitty comeuppances in this life that if you're alert to them, you can see that their position's in the wrong and it isn't going to play out in the long run. So, you know, some things have to take a generation to cool off, to heal. And unfortunately, sometimes things have taken a generation to heat up. And that's what's happened. You know, we've had since 27, so that's 16 years. You've had the Gazans being up in arms against Israel when it should have been making a peaceful life. They've got land there that could be made into a tourist attraction. They could invite industry to come in. All these good things, people would have bent over backwards to do it, but they got to drop the Joe MD hate. I mean, what the hell do they want? They're on a chunk of the Holy Land. That's not good enough? They're God's blessed people. That's not good enough? They've got a chunk. You can even have people go to Israel, visit the, you know, Temple Mount, and then they could go to the Gaza for the beach and water sports. It's not a zero-sum game. So, yeah, that's one of the biggest lies that we have, is that those people that believe fervently in their thing have to lose and I have to win. No, we both can be right a lot of times. There's enough success in this world for everybody. It doesn't have to be one has to lose and the other has to win. Both can win. Israel, it could have a homeland, and so can the Palestinians. They actually have one, you know, 25 square miles that they haven't done much with. So all of this is good. Basically, the rest of the world is hearing these arguments. You may not see that, but I see it. They're realizing you've got to be armed. You can't let thugs push you around. And if you want to live in peace, you've got to start doing it and making it exciting and sexy. You know? Not just AK-47.
We got Mike Sparks, who has a very different point of view than mine and most of our listeners, but here it is.
We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Mike, as most in the audience are aware, I have profound differences with you across the board. Most of the present-day occupants of Israel are actually Khazarians. They're not even Hebrews. They're not descended from the tribe of Judah. They wanted to have Ukraine to be the new Israel, and it's my view that because they have been frustrated by Russian success in defeating the Ukrainian armed forces, notwithstanding massive financial and weapons support from the West, especially the United States, they're now wanting to cleanse all of Palestine to be theirs exclusively. They want to get rid of the Palestinians one way or another. In my opinion, they are morally, legally, and politically wrong across the board. I realize that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, but I regard Hamas as the Palestinian resistance, and I think most of the Arab and Muslim world would agree with me. What I'm most keen on is your assessment of if this does become a conflict, if Hezbollah enters, if Turkey is drawn in, if perhaps Algeria, maybe even Egypt, whatever, how do you see this playing out militarily? In other words, we've cleared the board ethically, morally, legally. We have profound differences. I'm interested in your analysis now of tactics in relation to a war that I believe is imminent. Your thoughts?
I don't believe the war is imminent because they can't maneuver through closed terrain. There's a bottleneck in Lebanon, both mountainous, which is the battle against the earth, and human, the battle against man. You've got civil population buildup. Turkey cannot push through northern, southern Lebanon into northern Israel without getting clobbered. And the Turkish army is not that good. The Turkish army has vehicles that are vanilla. That means they don't have camouflage against thermal sights. They don't have active protection system. They'll be easily picked off. Same with their dismounted soldiers. They're going to be easily stopped, just like the Spartans stopped the Persians in the past. They don't have the terrain in their favor. They don't have an amphibious force. They don't have an airborne force to bypass to even reach Israel. So the Turkish army is going to get clobbered if they try. So moving down, they're going to have Hezbollah with them, too. That's even more clutter. So militarily, bring it on, Turkey.
Hezbollah.
Bring it on. They're a bunch of morons.
Hezbollah has defeated Israel before in Lebanon, Mike. Why are you being...
No, they haven't. Not in combined arms warfare. They've only done tit-for-tat terrorist attacks. They have to move in the open, and doing so, they'll be exposed to all kinds of observation and fire. So I'm telling you what would happen. It would be a bloodbath, and the Israelis would easily wipe them out. And the Israelis are Jews. This crap, this Khazar Jew stuff, comes from Kostan, who is a CIA LSD addict, Kostler. It's bullshit. You are a Jew by either ethnicity or your belief system. And the people in Israel, 8 million of them are Jews, just like there's 8 million Americans that are Jews. So you don't pull that Kostler crap, Khazar Jew crap. They're Jews. There's enough Jews there for God to recognize. That they've taken the land back, and that's what's going to happen. I don't want your envy, hate.
It's clearly you don't like anyone who's moral and stoical as a libertarian.
You're a libertarian. Mike, I am a moral stoic.
Mike, I don't call you out for what I regard as utter horseshit you're issuing here
today.
Yeah, but
that's a Kostler. Kostler is utter horseshit. That Khazar Jew stuff is CIA LSD addict bullshit. It's not that other people have done DNA tests and they're ethnically Jew enough, but you just don't want the knowledge that God works in fallen human beings today. And the way you can do that is just try to discredit the Jews living in Israel. There's enough Jews living in Israel for it to be a Jewish state. That's what this whole Kostler Jew thing is trying to do. It's trying to disengage them from legitimacy. Well, it ain't working.
You have been to Israel, Mike. I know you have been to Israel. Apparently, it made a profound difference to you.
No, it didn't make a profound difference. I'm telling you what I saw. They were better prepared and they were more alert when I was there than they were on 10/7. And Americans need to be just as alert as the Israelis were in the past. They need to be armed.
Mike, the IDF knew of a burnt craft on the fence. I mean, what you're saying about them not being prepared is ridiculous. It was a setup.
It is. You must wall people off, Jim. From a military's perspective, the chain link fence is not going to hold anybody out. By the time they're through, it's too late to try to converge on them. Don't give me this censor. Israeli censors are aware. That's not good enough. It's not good enough on the southwest border of the U.S., It's not good enough in Israel. You must wall people off. That means you must have a 20-foot high, at least, concrete wall that they have to climb. Some kind of thing that stops them. Chain link fence does not stop anybody. It doesn't.
Just a shift subject momentarily. How do you feel about the southern border of the United States?
The wall needs to be completely completed from the, land border of the United States all the way to, Corpus Christi, Texas. We need to have drones constantly patrolling the Gulf of Mexico, and we need to have naval forces ready to pounce there. The other watery borders of, Florida and California need to be enforced by federal officers since the state of California is corrupt. So I think we need to declare a state of martial law to override them to, block off the southern border of California. So militarily, we need to have combat engineering. Now, combat engineers do not rise to the top of the Army and the Marine Corps. So you got these shooters running these military organizations who think everything is direct fire. I just get line of sight with my tank or my, rifle in my hand and machine gun. And that's warfare. No, that's not warfare. Warfare also includes combat engineering, which means walls, obstacles. If Stalin had abateed the trees between Moscow and Germany, the millions of trees, Hitler couldn't have invaded Russia. But Stalin wanted Hitler to invade, because once Hitler invaded Russia, they were clearly the bad guys, and the world sided with Stalin and gave them all sorts of support. They wouldn't have got otherwise. So there's your let it happen on purpose situation. In the United States of America, you know that there are saboteurs that are in the United States on call, waiting for the call to start mayhem, killing, doing basically 10-7 here in the United States. So all Americans need to get armed, get trained if you're not, get 30-day at least food and water supply, and be ready to kill these thugs because it's coming here. So the Pedo Illuminati did this stunt, but it's backfiring in a way because it's alerting sheeple here in the United States to wake up and to be armed and not be weak.
What's your feeling about the Biden admin in the 2020 election? Is this a legitimate election or was it stolen? Was it a legitimate or was it stolen?
Yeah, the 2020 election was stolen, and they're going to get ready to, they're getting ready to steal it again. It, unless we stop it, and in a systemic view, we need to disband the CIA and the FBI. Both of these are corrupt organizations that are instigating world and, you know, here at home, corruption, and have the U.S. Marshals take over the job that the FBI should be doing it, but it's not. They're just persecuting moral, stoical people. And the CIA, there's two branches. There's the intelligence analysis branch, and then there's this special ops division. Robert Kennedy Jr. says, if I become president, I'll just get rid of the action-oriented. No, the CIA needs to be bulldozed. Everybody inside needs to be arrested. They need to go through all these files and start arresting people also who are involved over the years. And he's even burned to the ground as a statement to the world that the United States of America, the American citizens, do not support the CIA and all the dirty tricks it's done over the years. That's the only way we're going to have the clean house enema that we need. We also then need to get rid of the Illuminati. The Freemasonic 1787 U.S. Constitution does not have any safeguards against secret societies. Well, because they're all members of secret societies that started it. So let's stop worshiping the U.S. Constitution as this perfect document, which it's not, which has allowed the Illuminati to take control of our country, certainly since 2020. And we've had a moral collapse since. Everybody's showing their ass today, Jim. Since the election steal, you got people throwing rocks from overpasses. You got people running down bicyclists. All this because they all think they can get away with it. Because the law enforcement organization in America are Freemasonic. None of them are going to arrest a Clinton or a Biden or a Bush. None of them are going to do it. So all these people saying Biden is finished. Oh, yeah, who's going to arrest him? Okay. No Leo is going to do it, law enforcement organization. No cop's going to do it. They'll get kicked out of their Freemasonic lodge. No. American citizens are going to have to arrest Biden if you want him out. I don't know what we're going to do about the election. You know, that's if we can't talk publicly. But it's, you know, a detail-oriented thing. We'd have to go through the details of how they stole the election in 2020. You know what I mean? I don't want to war game it in public. What we should do. There is one group of thought that says, don't vote at all. Because when you vote, you create the illusion that you've had your say. What do you think of that?
There are those who think that Israel is in a bit of chaos, that there's no agreed upon leadership in Israel that enjoys consensus or the necessary charisma. Netanyahu is extremely unpopular. Only 27% of Israelis support his political survival. He refuses to accept responsibility for the failure of October 7th, which exposed him to internal criticism. The home front appears to have disintegrated, where Israelis are living in a state of severe division, both popular and political levels, especially how to deal with the issue of prisoners held by the resistance on the military front, especially the first 6 hours. Some suggest demonstrated the Israeli army suffers from severe deficiencies. But, you know, when you're describing Stalin allowing Hitler to invade Russia on purpose, my view is that Netanyahu allowed Hamas to attack Israel on purpose so he could have a, you know, play the victim card, have a justification for the slaughter of Gazans, which is grossly disproportionate to the offense committed and therefore grossly violative of international law and human rights. I know we seem to disagree about that, but I think there's quite a case to be made. Meanwhile, the Israeli economic situation is in terrible shape. Major sectors such as tourism are paralyzed. Travel is declining. The agricultural sector is suffering damage on the diplomatic front. Western countries historically biased in favor of Israel rush to support it. But it's eroded due to the impact of Israeli crimes and doubts about the ability of the Israeli army to resolve the war. Many countries have condemned Israel and cut off their diplomatic relations, including Colombia, Bolivia. Others have recalled their ambassadors, Chile, Jordan, Bahrain, Turkey, Honduras. Ever-increasing popular pressure is pushing governments to take boycott measures. Exposing Israel to isolation has begun to worsen. Even in the U.S., support for Israel appears to be weakening. I don't know if you noticed, Mike, about 2 weekends ago, there was a massive protest in Grand Central Station in New York where there were, I don't know, over 1,000 Jews against genocide.
Yeah, they're all going to be nihilistic people that are against being moral and stoical. This is all hate of anything that's moral and stoical. And the Israeli Defense Force is going to take care of the problem in another 30 days, and all these people are going to have egg on their face. But the point is, there's two things happening here, and I try to differentiate that. When thugs are at your door, the thugs have to be dealt with. Doesn't matter who instigated it. Then, after this is over, if you can kick BB out and put someone who's moral and stoical in, who's hopefully non-pedophile Illuminati. But you've got to realize that there's more than one idea going here. You've got the thugs that are guilty that need to be exterminated, and you've got the Illuminati instigating this shit. The Illuminati instigating it does not excuse the way the thugs, they need to be dealt with, period. They are guilty in their own right. Every man in this life is going to be judged by his own actions.
My opinion,
the Hamas thugs are guilty of war crimes, and they need to be put down like a rabid animal.
My opinion is the thugs are the IDF and the Israeli government.
They're self-defending. The Israeli Defense Force, the Israeli Defense Force is self-defending. The Israeli government might be guilty. But the Israeli Defense Force is just doing anti-thuggery. It has to be done. Just like you got to mow your lawn.
And you favor roads. And you favor slaughtering every man, woman, and child in Gaza.
It's not necessary. But in World War II, it would have been necessary.
So what's going to happen?
In World War II, we wouldn't have been able to do it surgically. We can do it surgically now. And that's what they're doing. Now, if everyone had 2 years of national service, they would know such things. The United States of America is full of these unrealistic, nirvana, woke-tard hedonists who are playing Call of Duty in the basement of their mom without a job. And they don't understand kinetic reality. They also don't understand the reality that if you murder somebody, a war criminal, like Hamas did, it's not just a level of Call of Duty. They're going to have to appear before God and be judged for those actions. They're nihilists. They don't believe that. They believe the lights go out just like you unplug your PlayStation and your TV set, and that's it. They're in for a rude awakening because everything I've seen shows that the world was created by a just and holy God. The world is run by order, but it's a fallen world.
Well,
I've seen proof of supernatural, as you know. I told you about the deliverance ministry, so I know that the Bible is true, and all of this is true. We live in a biblical world. Even President Putin says that. So I think we need to be moral and stoical. I'm not saying everyone must do John 3:16, but I'm saying everyone should do the last 5 of the 10 commandments. Don't kill. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, and don't covet. We can all agree on that. Well, we don't have that in the United States. The United States says you can be degenerate any way you want. And that's what's caused this to happen in Israel and in the United States.
Mike, last time I opened the phones when you were on, you were not happy with some of those who were taking strong exception. And you departed. I mean, you'd be welcome to do that again, of course. But I'd like to open the lines for callers. Is that okay with you?
If it's Paul, I'm going to hang up. Paul the Nazi. I want to not tolerate any of that Jew envy hate.
Well, Look, I'm going to open the line. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. If you'd like to engage with Mike and me about these issues, and it's while we agree about domestically about what's going on at the southern border virtually to 100%, we have stunning disagreement over who's right and who's wrong in Israel, Gaza, the whole bit. So anyone who'd like to participate in the exchange, obviously we're talking about a minefield here. You're welcome to join. 540-352-4452. So, Mike, what do you foresee then? Or is Gaza going to be eliminated? Is it going to be no Gaza?
Oh, no, there'll be a Gaza. I think the Hamas will be exterminated in, I think, about 30 days. And then we're going to have to decide how to rebuild it. I would like to see the Swiss come in and do it.
Well,
and look, the people will go back to their, ruined homes.
Mike, we do
That's what I think is going to happen.
We do have a caller on the line, and if you decide to hang up, I understand, I respect that. Paul from California. Paul, join the conversation.
It is I, Paul, the National Socialist.
I think, Mike, if I'm not mistaken, Mike's already hung up. Go ahead, Paul. Give us your thoughts.
We'll give him a chance.
Okay, go ahead. Good. He's still here.
Well, I find a lot of very interesting contradictions in the kind of things that Mike has been saying. So, for example, he's talked about just being a civilian and about living your life. So you mean the villagers of Deir Yassin and other such places where Jews, not Israelis, but Jews went in and slaughtered them and drove them from their land. I mean, that's why you have, shall we say, what was the word that you used? Disgruntled population, right? Because
when did that happen, Paul?
Taken.
When did that happen?
What?
1948, right? Well,
yeah.
Guess what? We're living in 2007. The Hamasans had a choice to live in peace. Instead, they wanted to hold a grudge from 1948. That's immature.
God. Well, the last time I checked, Hamas does not.
Why don't you go to 1619 and say the blacks, we were enslaved.
Mike,
give us $1 million each.
Mike, I'm all over Paul.
Yeah,
when
I just got my point in.
Mike, I need to let Paul say his piece, and then you can respond. Please let him say his piece. Paul, go ahead.
Well, again, it's an obvious point that everybody has been making as long as they have become aware of the Jewish question. And, of course, the Germans didn't refer to it as the question. It was the Jewish problem, okay? We're talking about a racial and biological situation. This has never been any kind of religious or so-called spiritual battle. This has been the behavior of a certain race throughout the centuries. This is not anything that's new. It's been written about and described, very well described, for a couple of thousand years, okay, which makes it, for anybody who has brains to see, makes it a racial biological issue. Okay? These people behave in a similar way, in the same way, over time, and they get the same reaction over and over. People do not like them. In fact, they hate them. And the last time I checked, Hamas is not running the Federal Reserve. Hamas is not opening our southern border. Hamas does not occupy all political positions in our government. Hamas does not run the legal system, the medical system, the educational system, publishing. Henry Ford wrote in his book published in 1922, which is a compilation of articles that he published because he had to buy his own newspaper, the Dearborn Independent, to get his articles published because nobody else would publish it. He wrote back then that by that time, by the early 1900s, the Jews were in control of all publishing. Think about that for a second and then come at me with your, oh, well, you know, we're just trying to be civilians living a life and accepting what? Accepting who rules over us any way they want to rule over us. And right now what they're doing is they're destroying this country.
No, they are the pedophile Illuminati, 11 million Satanist theosophists who are not Jews. They believe that man will become God through technology. They are not Jews. Is George W. Bush a Jew? No. Is Condoleezza Rice a Jew? No. Those are the people who took over the federal, the making the Bankers Reserve. Those are the people who have taken over the country. And they are also funded Hamas. The EU funds Hamas. They made the school textbooks to hate Jews. And no, it is not an ethnically thing. You think everything is about blood and birth. No, when you're born on this life, you're judged by what you do. Don't tell me in 1948 this happened or 1619. You are judged in this life by what you do now. And they had an opportunity to live in peace. Instead, they dug up pipes and turned them into rockets. They dug tunnels and poured concrete to reinforce them instead of building buildings for business and recreation to live a civilian life. So they should have said, look, we're putting 1948 past us. And we're going to live at peace with Israel. They had the opportunity. They didn't do it. That's Hamas. They now need to be punished for what they did. Now, the pedophile Illuminati instigating this do need to be punished after this is over with. It's just a matter of timing here. Right now, Hamas needs to be punished for what they did and never allowed to come back. But then, sure, you can talk about LIHOP with the EU, the pedophile Illuminati, you know, Netanyahu, Bibi, and all that. That's the time. It's not the time right now to bring this up and give them a pass. The people, those men, the Hamas, are guilty of war crimes. They must be put to death or captured.
So you're,
that's all there is to it. They have that.
Believing.
They deserve that. That's justice. Well, that's moral, stoical justice. Yeah. That's more so. I answered your bogus points, Paul. Point by point. They're full of your Jew envy, hate, and your genealogy. You are what you are because of your parents. No. You are judged in this life for what you do. Okay, thanks, Jim. Yeah, thanks.
My bogus points, okay.
Right.
No, it's a bogus point. You are judged by what you do in this life, Paul.
We got to break it. Continue.
Not your grandfather. No, you shut the fuck up, you little cunt. You're a Jew envy hating cunt. You're a good thing. I'm not there. I'll give you a fist sandwich.
Fuck you.
That's right, you little cunt. You're a little fucking evil cunt. You're always making excuse for evil. That's you, Paul. Make excuse for evil.
Quit talking.
For evil. You love evil. If you really hate evil, you wouldn't have let that happen.
I love evil. You're right.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Paul, let me say, I thought that was an exemplary call. I thought you were very moderate in your tone. You made impeccable points. Mike went off the deep end, and of course, his continued berating you and name-calling, I've had to give him the boot. I mean, you know how much I strive to have civil discourse and exchanges, and it's too bad because I want you to hang around while I bring in Reese from New York, who's been standing by. I know Reese would have a lot to say, but I have no doubt Mike wouldn't give him a chance to say it. Reese, join a conversation with Paul and me.
Yeah. Well, I have to say I'm sorry I missed the opportunity to address Mike, because I had quite a few things. First, what I wanted to ask him before I went into engaging him on some of his half-baked, I don't want to say blather, it's satanic babble. But before I did that, I wanted to ask him, what denomination of Christianity does he belong to that, let's say, gives their approval of shooting children that throw rocks at IDF border guards that maybe shot their father or maybe raped their sister when they arrested her? I mean, what version of Christianity is that, Mike? And by the way, Mike, what version of the Bible are you reading from? I don't think it's a King James version. I would say it's more likely an Anton LaVey's satanic Bible version, Mike. Could that be where your views are coming from? Because he is clearly demonically possessed. Now, I want to let you know something. I also had two experiences with people that were bona fide demonically possessed. One of them could levitate and do similar things, but I've seen the levitations. And I had a Bible study years ago with a guy that was part of a satanic coven. I won't go into it, but I could tell you it's very real. And by the way, some of what Mike said is true. I want you guys to know, when these covens meet locally, either a visible or an invisible manifestation in form of a voice instructs them on who in the community has been causing trouble, whistleblowers.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 8-6-4-8-9-5.
Sorry, this is a caller that Mitchell is trying to recover. You're making
okay,
a good
on.
Point. Just go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me
go
just
ahead.
Say this, though. The only thing that he said that was legit is that these Satanists, and there are covens all over America, including the largest in the country other than L.A. is in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, and that's confirmed. So these covens meet, and they are being directed by invisible personages, let's call them. So now let's get back to Mike, who I don't know if he ever read the Sermon on the Mount, but he needs to go and read the Sermon on the Mount, man, because I don't know what version of Christianity he subscribes to. It must be one of these skinhead, off-the-wall versions. I mean, he's even calling people anti-Semitic that call out Israel on bombing hospitals. They've bombed more than one hospital fully filled with patients, including children. refugee centers that were full, and the Palestinians have been under a 16-year naval blockade, and they have seen many of their family members, as I mentioned before, raped, beaten up, and even shot by the IDF. And he's saying that they're throwing a rock as a way to vent at a soldier who's, by the way, in body armor, is justification to get shot. I mean, this guy is either a sociopath or a full-blown misanthrope. I'm not sure which one, because I didn't get a chance to pick his brain a little bit. But I, if I had a few minutes, I might. But I don't think so, Jim. I think this guy would have went into F-bombing and probably foaming from the mouth with satanic hatred if I even questioned him. Now, he also said, yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say he was going overboard with that. Paul, it's an accident to drop you. Call back in. We want you to continue. I got Brew here as well. Reese, say a couple more words, and then
okay.
I'll go to Brew, and then I'll get Paul. Go ahead, Reese. Just
let
a
me
few
move
more
on
words.
To it. Let me give a few other points maybe the other callers want to use as a springboard. He made the outrageous statement that Arthur Koestler of the 13th Tribe was an LSD degenerate, you know, LSD. I mean, this is unbelievable that he would make this claim. And how, I wanted to ask him, how about Shlomo Sand, the invention of the Jewish people, you know, the Orthodox Jew? Was he also an LSD addict or maybe an anti-Semite? And how about Professor Aaron Eliak of John Hopkins University, also Jewish, who after extensive DNA testing confirmed what Arthur Koestler said in his book, that over 90% of today's Jews, the Ashkenazi, don't have a drop of blood flowing through their veins that connects them to the biblical 12 tribes of Israel. I'll let someone else speak now.
Yeah, no, that's all good, Reese. Brew, yeah, Brew, join the conversation. Your thoughts.
Well, I'd like to start by saying that I'm a Holocaust propaganda survivor. And thanks for having me here. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I missed everything in the first hour and a half, but I tuned in just in time to hear the compliments towards Paul, to say, compliment him on how moderate his tone was and how civil he was. And I just thought that was a classic opportunity, beneficial to myself to call in, and it's such a monumental time. And I got to go in the archives because I want to hear this. In any case, it sounds like you had a hoot and a holler of a guest beginning that ended up leaving sooner than later because they like some of these people, like, you know, just can't take, what do you call it, debate or rebuttal? Am I right?
Well, he went way over the top, Brew. I guess I could have simply muted him, but, I mean, I think it was a lost cause. Paul, give us your thoughts, bring Brew up to speed here, since he missed a lot of it. But you were good, Paul. I thought you were perfect.
Well, you know, I was going to say earlier that I thought it was another testimony, excuse me, pardon me, another testimony to your graciousness as a rule, the way that you let him talk to you earlier in the show. I mean, literally, there's times where he just seems extremely unhinged, would be the best way I could put it. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, I think it would be a good service to listeners for a show to, if he was to be calm about it, and we could go back and forth on all these various points that he was making. There are some things that he said that I find sensible and that I wouldn't totally disagree with, but I would definitely need to know more. I was going to ask him if he's got a website or if he's written anything to put these kind of, you know, these views together. But I was especially curious as whether he was talking about Hitler and Stalin and the million trees being cut down. And I just wanted to get his views on why he thinks that Germany had to invade. Or I know why Germany had to invade, but I wondered if he was on the same page as all of that. So, but again, I just don't think any of us fully appreciate the amount of animosity. Yeah, because we were born and raised here in America, and we don't really have, you know, we haven't been ruled over the way the Palestinians have in recent memory. In other words, this 1948 is fairly recent. It's only a couple of generations. So for the moment, I'll leave it at that. Yeah,
that's all good. That's all good, Paul. We got Bruce from South Carolina standing by. Bruce, join the conversation.
Hello, everyone. Paul, you're my hero, man. You kept cool. I love that. That was really nice. Jim, I don't know where you got this guy from, but he's full of nonsense. He's rabid. He's a religious fanatical is what he is, and those people you can't deal with. He made the statement that Condoleezza Rice wasn't Jewish. Excuse me, Mikey boy, but she was Jewish. She was a conversion, but she was Jewish. And so was, what was his name, Colin Powell. People don't believe that Colin Powell was Jewish, too. Colin Powell was a Caribbean Jew, okay? We've had a Jewish-born president ever since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And yes, Jim, I've done my research, okay? It was only been one exception. And the Kennedys are all Jewish. They were born from Rose Kennedy, who was Jewish. Barack Obama is Jewish. It goes on and on and on. And Blinken right now, all these people are war criminals, and they need to be put in front of firing squads. And by the way, I got something real important to pass on to everybody else, since today is Veterans Day, or tomorrow will be. And that is, Henry Kissinger should be made an example of, because he and his cohorts kept half of our POWs in Vietnam and kept the $4.3 billion in their back pocket. And we still have 150 of those POW in Vietnam still left alive. I wonder why Biden didn't pick them up and bring them home, okay? I'm fed up with the Jewish supremacy takeover of America. That's what they were hired to do, was to take America over, and that's exactly what they're doing. And Israel got exactly what it deserved, and I hope it goes a lot farther than that. That's all I got to say.
Well, Bruce, I understand those sentiments. I'm not in a position to verify your claim about all the presidents being Jewish, but, I mean, in some sense, it wouldn't surprise me. I suppose Jimmy Carter is the least likely of the bunch, but I agree that the Congress is Israeli-occupied territory and that Bibi is, in essence, our commander-in-chief today. Jim, I said
they were born from mother Jews, okay? They don't practice it, but they're born from mother Jews. And Jimmy Carter's wife, Rosalind, she's Jewish, and her brother is a rabbi. You've got to look into this stuff in the background. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I wasn't.
If you're born from a mother Jew, you're considered Jewish always. That is the whole damn problem. You've got to uncover the Jewish-born involvement there.
Bruce, I wasn't contradicting you. I was saying, I have my own knowledge, couldn't confirm it. That's all. But I wouldn't be surprised, okay? You said your piece. I'm glad you called in. Reese, go ahead. Reese, let's go to Reese and then Paul and then back to Bruce. Reese.
Yeah, I want to say that.
Oh, we got Bruce.
Bruce, right on the money. I haven't done as extensive research as he has into every president. The only one I wasn't aware of was Jimmy Carter. But I know, for instance, FDR was a Dutch Jew, if you trace his ancestry. And he's right about the Kennedys. The mother was technically a Jew. And so was Barack Obama. His mother was a Jew. And that explains, by the way, why the grandfather was CIA, because we know the Jews stacked the CIA all the way back to the OSS, so it would only make sense. And that, of course, that's the connection with the Barry Sotoro name, which, you know, you guys, I don't have to preach to the converted, but let me just say this. Your guest, who is completely half-baked, I mean, this guy was foaming from the mouth, Zionist, crazy Christian. That's if he even was a Christian. Part of me is wondering if he's a Jew under the disguise of being a Christian, because they do that very often. By the way, Jim, let me say this to you. Yesterday on your RBN program, you had a caller that called in with this nonsense about music. And, you know, does art equal architecture?
Let's not go there, Reese. That's just too much of a distraction. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, he was a Jew that was eating up your clock.
That's okay.
He was playing with you. Anyway, let's go back to this. The protocols were not written by Palestinians, and they were not written by Jesuits. They were written by Jews, and they are the most malicious, contemptuous document probably ever scripted by the hand of man. So I send that back to Mike.
Yeah, no, that's all good. That's all good. Paul.
Go ahead and take Brew. I'm actually doing something.
Okay, I think Brew is still sort of absorbing what was going on. But Brew, if you have further thoughts, go ahead. No, Brew.
Water's flowing eastward. Jim, water is flowing eastward. Author L. Fry and Lady Shishmaresh from Russia confirm that the authors of the protocols were in fact Jews. We don't know all the names, but we know a number of them, and that's all we need to know. And it's just like Freemasonry. I hear all these people calling in about Freemasons being Catholics. If you look at the Freemasonic Tree of Life, for instance, and all the symbology, it's all Hebrew. It's all Kabbalistic. So these people, I'll tell you, I don't know if there's a website they're getting this from, but this guy is a nutball that was on your program. And honestly, Jim, I know you were a self-described liberal and a humanitarian. That's fine. I'm liberal in many ways, too. But I'm surprised you mean you were silent when he said he called for the utter genocide of the Palestinians. You didn't say a word.
No. I was opposing it right and left. My God, everyone knows I think this is outrageous.
And I heard what you didn't say.
I'm not a liberal in today's sense, a liberal. I'm a liberal in the sense of JFK and FDR and believing in the welfare state, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. But I support Donald Trump, for crying out loud, with qualifications. That's where I am today.
Jim, I was just shocked that you didn't express dismay when he said he called for the genocide.
I did, Reese. How could I interfere with Mike when he wouldn't let me get a word in edgewise, Reese? You know that.
I didn't hear it. Oh. I was listening intently for you to rebut him, and I did not hear it.
Let me get Paul. Believe me, I said it from the beginning, Reese. Paul. I had said it during the first half hour when he didn't even say a word I was talking about it. Paul.
Right. So, again, I will say this, though. He definitely was interesting radio. When I first heard him, I had to find out exactly who it was again, because I tuned in at about the half hour. And I remember texting Michael Ivey going, who is this guy, Mike? You know, because he reminded me. And then I recall, I got into it with him before.
He started yelling
and wouldn't let me talk. And then you dropped him again. So, you know, here's the way that I look at it. See, when you take just if you look at this thing, not from so much, you know, politics and religion and history, it's just something that's been repeated many times throughout, what you call recorded human history. And it's just one group of people, dominating, taking from, and genociding another. It's happened many, many, many times. And it's just an object lesson in the way the world works, right? Which is based upon what? Superior force. It's unfortunate, but this is the way it is. So when the Jews came into Palestine, they had, more money, more determination and will and logistical support from the West, and the Palestinians lost. And if I was a Palestinian, I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed about losing. You know, this notion that they should just be good civilians and go about living their life. I don't think any of us really know that kind of anger or resentment, because it hasn't happened to us. So for the moment, that's, my take.
But Brew, did you want to add? Are you still here, Brew?
Yeah, Jim, I want to let you know I'm on your side. I was just trying to clarify something that a lot of people don't know of, because my research group was impeccable. And when that nutcase made comments about Kessler being CIA operative, no. Kessler's 13th Tribe, Book of 13, was very, very good. It's very excellent. It's very good research information. And by the way, Kessler and his wife were both murdered about a year after that book came out. There is a proposal I would like to put out, and then I'll kind of quiet down, and that is, it's real simple. These Edomites, Canaanites, Kikes, whatever you want to call them, okay? They're parasites. They must be removed from any political position, never allowed into gatekeeper positions or assigned to them. They must be taken out of positions of power and authority, and then the rest of them herded into a corral and let them breathe themselves off this planet. Those who don't agree should be put onto cattle cars, sent to the nearest kosher slaughterhouse, and told one last thing. You're getting ready to be made into Soylent Green fertilizer. And that's going to be the end of it. That's it. They've destroyed. They're destroyers of countries and cultures, and they need to be racked up and put away as fast as they can. These people are destroying everything in sight, and they don't deserve any kind of any kind of respect at all. Any decent person walking this earth should never be allowed. Would ever want to be a Jew with their reputation. And there's no such thing as five different types of Jews. They're all the same. They come from the same synagogue as Satan, period.
I think you've just articulated precisely the opposite view of Mike Sparks, but with equal passion and conviction.
I'm not done. You won't let me kiss. I'm not done yet. I mean, there's been when I made the statement, and I was true about this, that we've had a Jewish-born president ever since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. There's only been one exception, only one. That was Ronald Reagan. But his wife, Nancy, was 150% Hollywood Jew. So there's your training right there. So they're all controlled and they're all bought off, and money is buying off an awful lot of people. The occupants of our U.S. government don't represent the American people, and that's what has to leave. They are not allowed in here ever again. That they could be merchants and merchants only, and that's all they can be in any society. And I suggest France and Germany and Sweden, Norway, rise up and get the old bastards out as fast as you can because they're destroying everything in sight.
So Jim, just quickly. As radical as the position that he articulates, it's not that far removed from the original Catholic Church before it was taken over and corrupted. And I mean, just his use of the term Edomites and Canaanites, these are, you know, how they were referred to. I've actually been quite interested in some correspondence with one of the listeners I've got in contact with me for, and she's very, very Catholic and quite knowledgeable. And, you know, there is indeed a whole so-called religious perspective on this. But in reality, when you get right down to it, it's as much a racial perspective as anything. And to deny that these people are not, you know, of a particular race or type, I mean, it would be to deny science, right? And again, you know, there's a lot of, I quibble with a lot of what we're told is true. However, I do believe that such things exist as phenotype and haplotype, sure, and, you know, all of these course. Other things. And this is what we're dealing with is throughout the centuries, these people have remained the same in their behavior. And obviously, I've mocked the not all argument because obviously the not all argument doesn't really need to be articulated because anytime you discuss anything, you just assume it's not all. However, as a group, they have acted in ways that are extremely predatory and detrimental to the host nations that have accepted them. So that's why they've encountered what they've encountered throughout the history, which is being run out of various societies and countries. And just real quick before I go, I'll recommend a movie which probably none of you have watched, as I recommended it before, and I want you to watch it again, Jim, or watch it. I've recommended it before. It's called Yud Seuss, J-U-D, Yud, and then Seuss, S-U-S-S. And it was produced in 1940 by the Germans, and it's an excellent film. And if you watch it, you'll get an idea of what it is we're experiencing today.
Well, you were just wonderful today, I got to tell you. I'm so pleased with your calls today. I just want you to know that. I thought you were exemplary in dealing with a very difficult situation here. Reese, do you want to add a final thought here? We're approaching.
I want to say, Paul, it's very special of you. Thank you very much on this celebratory day of the creation of the Marines.
Bruce, thank you for that.
I also want to suggest that 120 countries have been booted out of, but repeatedly, it's upwards of 1,200 plus times. So they'd pull their stunts. Everyone would get fed up and be like, enough's enough, ganut, ganut, enough's enough. They'd kick them out. Some time would pass. People would kind of forget, and then they'd forgive, and then they'd start trickling back in, and the whole thing would start up again. And then they'd get to the point, and then be reminded, hey, we kicked these sons of guns out before. It's time to do it again. Over 1,200 times until they had the goal, they had the plan, they had to take control of the money system. And then they got control of that Bank of England, which really was the turning point. When they got control of that Bank of England and England itself, that was the entire turning point. And then they spread out and they took over America. They took over Russia. They took over France. They took over Germany. They took over everything. And it's the money, the power, the positions is how they've been able to do it. Bruce is absolutely correct, except he put it as it is happening. No, it has already happened. We have been usurped and so forth. Anthony Blinken is the acting president and the military arm in the United States. You got Netanyahu, and you got all these positions of power in all these other countries all around the world pulling the same darn stunts. And this needs to stop, but we don't have a plan to exactly stop it. All we do is chatter and talk and whatnot, which is good, brings awareness, but it's, you know, it's not enough. Go ahead.
Yeah, excellent observations. Reese, if you got a concise closing thought, share it.
Well, I want to know, first of all, where are the NATO bomber squadrons? Why are they not now bombing Tel Aviv? Tel Aviv should be getting reduced to rubble right now, because there is not another nation in the last 100 years that has committed the war crimes that equate what is going on with this synagogue of Satan right now. Now, you may talk about greater destructive power, like the bombing of Hiroshima, but not war crimes. There is no greater war crime in the last 100 years that was done in the face of the world with their finger raised to the UN Human Rights Commission than is Israel. So where are my bomber squadrons? And I say tactical nuking is in order. Thank you.
I think that was very good, very good, very good. I want to thank you all for really being excellent. I thought this part of the discussion was spot on. Very, very good.
Jim? Yeah. Jim? Let me just put one. 15 years ago, I was told that one of the 5 seed lines of the Rothschilds over there in Europe happened to be worth $650 trillion. That was the city of London. $650 trillion, that's a lot of money to do a lot of damage with.
Yeah.
And also, I want to leave everybody with one last thought. The truth is hate to those who hate the truth.
Yeah, I agree, Bruce. I agree. Gaddafi said, if you wanted terrorism in the world, lob a cruise missile into the city of London. I think he may have got it right. You guys were all excellent. Let me just share with everyone my sentiment. Spend as much time as you can with family, friends, and people you care and love about. Literally, we do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for being here. God bless Revolution Radio.
And when it comes to your gun, give them the bullet first. Keep your head on a swivel. Be kind to one another.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A
dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their